The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Well, the summit has concluded. Instead of the expected 4.5 hours tête-à-tête between Vladimir Putin and the man who bears the title of the President of the United States, it only lasted for about half that duration. And then afterwards, a separate press conference was held by each of the people who attended. And we will dissect the responses, the summaries from Biden himself. But somebody else had to pitch in with her take on what this man who runs Russia tried to do to her. That's Hillary Clinton. Cut 7, play cuts.
I think Joe Biden has learned a lot, as we all have. And, you know, remember, you know, Putin made it his mission to deny me the presidency in part because, you know, I did raise issues that were uncomfortable with him. I did speak out about the oppression and frankly, the rigged elections in Russia.
Putin made it his mission to stop her from becoming the president. Let's ask for some input from one of your favorite guests. He is, of course, the senior fellow at the Hoover Institute in Stanford, Professor Victor Davis Hanson, author of the new book, The Dying Citizen, How Progressive Elites, Tribalism and Globalization Are Destroying the Idea of America. Professor Hanson, how indicative of a broader opinion is what we just heard from former Senator Clinton, that Russia tried to deny her the presidency? Is that one crazy opinion, or could it be worse than that?
Oh, I'm afraid, Sebastian, it's much worse. Everything she said was completely untrue. Got to remember that right after Obama was inaugurated, she went on a tirade that George Bush had appeased the Russians in South Ossetia by his meager sanctions, and that was he had appeased them, but they were going to reset with Russia, and she got this little jacuzzi button in Geneva and pushed it, mistranslated the word for reset. And then she said that actually Bush had been too mean to Putin, and that she was going to open up this window, and that no more sanctions, no more lectures to Putin. He was going to be a part strategic partner. And then remember in 2011 in Seoul, Barack Obama said that he was willing to give up some security, missile security with the Eastern Europeans if Putin gave him space during his reelection bid in 2012. And I need no need to say that John Kerry invited Vladimir Putin into the Middle East after 30 years of a hiatus. So they appeased him. And the result was, as soon as Obama got elected, Putin went on a tirade in 2014. He went into Crimea. He went into Ukraine. And the only person ever stood up with him, to him, was Donald J. Trump. Donald Trump increased the sanctions. He flooded the world with cheap oil that hurt Russia. He killed 200 mercenaries. He got out of that asymmetrical that short-term missile deal. And he jawboned Russia. And already Biden has approved the pipeline. He hasn't done anything about hacking. What does he mean that he's learned a lot about Putin? All he's learned about is how to be afraid. Putin's a Machiavellian, satanic, but brilliant interlocutor. And when he said the other day that look at the people at the Capitol, they were political protesters. Your law enforcement killed one person. He was doing what the Chinese did before by blaming racism, American racism, for tying the lab to the origins. And the left, of course, loved that. And now they can't say a thing when Putin mimics that same tactic.
How effective is it, Professor Hansen, when somebody like Putin, yes, we understand the limitations of the Russian Federation, the shrinking economy, but still, if you've got a nation of 11 time zones, you are geostrategic no matter what. How effective is it when somebody like that, a former KGB colonel, brings up Black Lives Matter and rioting in America after the first summit meeting with the new head of state in the United States?
Well, he has no apprehensions. He has no fears. And it is very effective, because what he's basically saying is, you people lecture me, but I'm not going to lecture you. I'm just going to play back what you say about yourself. And so when you go on these apology tours, this redux of Barack Obama, and you can continually castigate your own culture and society, then you don't have any moral authority to say you have to do this, or you did that, or you're authoritarian, or you did this to the Uyghurs. So these leaders in China and Russia are saying to us, okay, you know, some hackers took out a pipeline, and wow, some hackers also were interrupting meat supplies. But you guys said that meat was bad for you in the first place, and you said you were going to get off fossil fuels and 15 years. So all we're doing is expediting your own agenda. So when we do this, we open ourselves out to very effective propaganda, to answer your question.
And how intriguing is it, if you're following geopolitical trend lines, to see that this is actually a pattern, to see in the first China-US summit in Anchorage, already the chief communist diplomat use the talking points from the left wing here, throwing BLM and riots in the face of Antony Blinken, the cabinet-level diplomat who has no reaction. The idea that communist China and the Russian Federation are using domestic talking points together, you are the master historian on strategy on ancient Greece and so forth. Doesn't that potentially presage action when dictatorial or authoritarian regimes use that kind of language? They're not just talking, are they?
No, they're not. I mean, Khrushchev beat up Kennedy in the first summit. And guess what? Yeah. A little over a year later, he went right into Cuba. And guess what? Dean Acheson told the world that South Korea wasn't in our realm of defensive responsibilities. And guess what? A few months later, the North crossed the DMZ, the 38th parallel. So same thing with April Glaspie. She said to Saddam Hussein, it's not our interest to
Kuwait.
interfere in internecine Arab squabbles. And then guess what? He went into Kuwait. So they were testing us in Alaska. Putin studied that Chinese-American mini-summit, and he understands that Biden is weak. And if you want to have a territorial expansion or some type of advancement or gain of interest, this is the time to do it. Doesn't mean they'll do it, because there's other interests that they have to consider, but they feel that it's less likely now that the United States would muscularly respond to an aggression on their part. And that's dangerous, because deterrence depends on the enemy knowing exactly your capability, but not knowing exactly when you may strike. But when you cut the defense budget and you broadcast that you're fine with selling them, helping with the pipeline, or you're castigating your own country, or you're not doing anything about hacking, then you are saying to them, we're going to be predictably docile, but we're also going to cut back and use our savings to help the homeless and other things that the left has proposed in the defense savings.
And not only that, when the G7 prior to the NATO summit, prior to the Russia-US summit, when their focus or what they message to the world, Professor Hansen, is, well, we need a universal corporate tax for our nations. We need to focus on climate change. How does China and how does the Kremlin look at that?
Well, they're delighted. They're saying, wait a minute, you're going to take this big hit in your economy and go over to unreliables and expensive, quote unquote, renewable fuels while we're going to pump gas and burn coal. That's fine with us. And you're going to do all of these gender initiatives, and you're going to do all of these social contexts and address the homelessness. And you're basically, that 25-page G7 summit blueprint was doctored, or I guess it was wholesale fashion borrowed from the Great Reset at Davos. That was Klaus Schwab's. That was him, Schwab. That was his idea, that we were going to use the COVID crisis to restructure capitalism and to get greater equity and climate change remedies. So these people love it, China and Russia. And we did, Sebastian, violate the cardinal rule of American diplomacy, that neither Russia or China should be closer to each other than they are to us. We drove them into each other's arms through the Russian collusion hoax.
Not only that, from the podium at NATO, we had Biden attack Republicans. I think we need to play that clip next. He is the author of The Dying Citizen. Order it now. Any book from The Case for Trump to Who Killed Homer, but especially his newest, The Dying Citizen, How Progressive Elites, Tribalism and Globalization Are Destroying the Idea of America. Follow our good friend at BD Hansen right now on Twitter. We will discuss his latest piece, Anatomy of the Woke Madness, here on America First on the Salem Radio Network. When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap, with an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelt B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft your HR policy, and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day to day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/GORKA right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi, Bambi.com/GORKA. Bambi.com/Gorka.
I think it's appropriate to say that the Republican Party is vastly diminished in numbers. The leadership of the Republican Party is fractured, and the Trump wing of the party is the bulk of the party, but it makes up a significant minority of the American people. And we'll see.
That was Biden from the podium at NATO headquarters in Brussels, talking of the GOP being greatly diminished and having a fractured leadership. We are talking to Professor Victor Davis Hanson, the author of the new book, The Dying Citizen. As a historian, I'm not a professional historian. I'm a complete amateur, but I'm trying to recall if any president has been so outspoken in terms of a domestic political attack on a foreign stage, and if it ever has ever occurred, either by Democrat or Republican, from the headquarters of the NATO alliance. I can't recall since 1949. Has it ever happened?
No, I can't think so. And I think what I'm even more worried about is that he carries a twig and he talks loudly. So he keeps talking about, we're going to do this and do this and do this to you, Putin, and we've got all this capability. And Putin's thinking, Well, I knew that all along, but you didn't do anything about the pipeline and you haven't done anything about the hack. So it's even more embarrassing to you that you have the capability, but you're apparently afraid to use it.
We have to discuss your latest piece. It's at American Greatness, Anatomy of the Woke Madness. We're posting it now on our Twitter and Facebook pages. Even just the subheadings are so telling. Performance virtue signaling, when individuals disappear, racism everywhere and thus nowhere. And the last, when merit is racist. Let's illustrate how this is truly a top-down phenomenon. This is the man who has the highest rank in the U.S. Navy. He has one job, to make sure the Navy functions. He's the CNO, the Chief of Naval Operations. We've discussed him before on America First. Admiral Mike Gilday responding to Congressman Jim Bax, asking him a question about the Admiral's recommended reading list for the whole Navy. Cut 12.
Kendi's book states that capitalism is essentially racist. And Kendi is clear that racism must be eliminated. So yes or no, do you personally consider advocating for the destruction of American capitalism to be extremist?
Here's what I know, Congressman.
So yes or no
racism
question,
in the United States Navy.
Admiral, you recommended every sailor in the United States Navy read this book. So yes or no question.
I'm not forcing anybody to read the book. It's on a recommended reading list.
Admiral, did you read the book?
I did.
Okay. In college, Kendi stated that white people are a different breed of humans and are responsible for the AIDS virus. Yes or no, do you personally consider the conspiracy that white people started AIDS to be an extremist belief?
Sir, I'd have to understand the context.
That is a simple question.
Made. I'm not going to say,
Admiral,
here,
this is a book that you recommended every sailor in the United States Navy read.
Cherry-picked quotes from somebody's book. I'm not going to do that. This is a bigger issue than Kendi's book.
I think it is a bigger issue than Kendi's book. And the Admiral said that you have to understand the context. I'm trying to think, Professor Hansen, is there a context in which recommending a book by an author like Ibram Kendi, who believes AIDS was manufactured to kill black Americans, is there a justifiable context for that?
Well, there's the real reason and there's the pretext.
Yes.
And the pretext is he didn't know what was going on, and that he wanted to ingratiate himself with the powers of be. And so, but the subtext or the real reason underneath all of this is we've got a problem in the military where at the 3- and 4-star rank, especially at the top of each branch of the services, they go in and out of Raytheon, General Dynamics, Lockheed, Honeywell, all of these defense contractors, and the left does not say a word. They used to damn them to hell. And now what happens is these admirals and generals are completely disconnected with the men below them and women. They're creatures of the Washington culture. They know exactly how to virtue signal their wokeness to left-wing people in Congress. And in exchange for that, they are allowed to have very lucrative careers beyond the military, as if there is no conflict of interest of using your familiarity with the labyrinth of the Pentagon to enhance a defense contractor's viability. And they're rewarded for it. And so here we have this obscene example of these, again and again and again, these generals and admirals who will become multimillionaires in the capitalist system. That's why I'm bringing this up, because it relates to the quote about capitalism. But then as sort of a pretext and to show their virtue signaling performance or wokeness, they'll appease these people and encourage them because they have no skin in the game except their own careers, which are enhanced by this appeasement. And so I find it really shocking. I don't see a bunch of African American or Latino or Asian or American Indian sailors coming to the Admiral and saying, we've got to have this book on
there. Yeah.
We've just got to. This is a top down, elite driven, academic, political phenomenon.
You make this point at the very opening of your article, The Anatomy of the Woke Madness, that it is a top-down driven phenomena. I have to ask you, given the developments of the last 2 weeks, just the last 2 weeks, where we see parents, where we see young teachers publicly publicly push back on critical race theory, talking about its Marxist roots, talking about its bigoted tenets. Does this at least buoy you to a certain extent that there is some bottom-up resistance?
It does, because what they are reacting to is the absurdity of wokeness, but more importantly, they have an innate sense that every aspect of wokeness, from open borders to the Green New Deal to critical race theory to this new reparations movement, all of them have no majority support. They don't poll 50%. So what people are starting to say is these people have, in coup-like fashion, grabbed the reins of power in all of our institutions, but they have no popular ground. So if we can just tell the world that they're absolutely naked and they don't have lavish robes like the emperor's clothes, then people will see that this is a fraud. And I think that's why people are coming forward. And it's not the proverbial white suburban mom, soccer mom. It is Latinos and blacks and everybody, because they understand that this is very deleterious and injurious to their own children.
And fascinatingly, it's not even white Americans born here. It's people like Tatiana Ibrahim from New York who came on our show. It is Lilith Venetian who escaped Soviet Republic of Armenia. Why is it that these people understand? Because they know the end product of all this ideology. It's the anatomy of the woke madness. Read it now. It's on our Twitter and Facebook pages. Follow Professor Victor Davis Hanson at VD Hanson and order his book, The Dying Citizen, How Progressive Elites, Tribalism, and Globalization Are Destroying the Idea of America. Thank you, Professor. This is America First. Relief Factor, real pain relief for those who have been unable to find it anywhere else. People like Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. That could be you. That should be you. Find out today. Order your 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call them now, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
Hear ye, hear ye, ladies and gentlemen. Hailing from the far reaches of the swamp, the righteous writer of wrongs, the triumphant teller of truths, this is the Baron Boris Epstein on America First.
I love that intro. Yes, indeed, he's back with us, former strategic advisor to the Trump campaign, my buddy from the White House, former special assistant. How cool is that? We call him the Baron. Boris, welcome back to America First.
Thank you so much, my friend. Good to have you, and I'm doing my special baronial wave.
The baronial. We got to get him a carriage. We got to get him a carriage and then some kind of big... What's the male version of tiara? We don't need a full crown because No, you're a baron. So we got to have some kind of baronial headgear. We'll think about
it. Or one of those really super fancy orders.
Like a big chain, like a mayor's chain, the mayor of London, one of those big baronial seals of office. What would be on your seal? What best exemplifies the baron's attitude to life? Is it a bear? What is it?
Probably what you just put up, a big fist.
A massive fist. All right, we're going to contact the heraldry department and we're going to get a massive new design for the baron's heraldry.
Punching.
All right, punching, big punching fist, right. Because that's what we do. No snowflakes allowed. Okay, let's get down to business. Great to have you on the show. By video. Guys, if you're not subscribed to Rumble, why not? It's a new channel. We've already got 330,000 subscribers and it's free. Check it out, rumble.com/SebGorka. That's rumble.com/SebGorka. Okay, I'm going to hit you with a question that you are perfectly situated to answer. As a man, bless you, as a man who was born amongst the ruins, the ashes of the former Soviet Union, if you had to guess, bless you.
I'm sneezing because the Soviet Union.
I know. He's allergic. He's allergic to the Soviet Union. He can't.
I'm allergic to communism.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, that's a good bumper sticker. Allergic to communism. Hashtag good one, Baron. Okay, as a man who is born amongst the rubble, the wasteland of the former Soviet Union in Russia, I want you, with your special perspective, to give us your interpretation. If you were the fly on the wall inside that 2.5-hour meeting that was supposed to be 4.5 hours today, how do you expect it went between sleepy, creepy Beijing Biden and that former KGB colonel, the bareback riding judoka who is Vlad Putin?
I don't think, you know, to me, this seemed a little bit like a lamb being let to slaughter, sadly. And, you know, as in any bilateral, I'm always, no matter the party, rooting for the American president and hoping that he'll come out from strength. Instead, what do you get out of it? That Russia is putting their ambassador back in the U.S. and America's putting our ambassador back into Moscow, and then he, you know, Putin started talking about how the cyber attacks originate in the United States. Overall, it was an embarrassing performance by Joe Biden. Of course, nothing less expected. You know, if he knew who he was talking to, I think that's already an achievement.
That's a plus. That's a plus.
This whole trip from the G7 to NATO has been just so awful, and the disrespect shown by Russia to Biden and the United States by having huge military games right when this was starting.
At the same time.
Absolutely overwhelming. The world, this is exactly what we talked about during the last campaign. The world may not have wanted to be buddy-buddy with Donald Trump, even though a lot of them did, but they sure respected and feared Donald Trump.
Right.
Joe Biden is not respected, and he's not feared.
Now, you're a political, you know, you're an old hand politically, a campaign expert. You got to follow this guy, Boris EP on Twitter, Boris underscore Epstein on Instagram. But you also have a great sense of history. You always bring that fabulous historic perspective. It's not even old history. It's not even ancient history. And I just go back a few years. I just go back 12, 13 years. And I look at what happened under the Obama administration. The world just, you know, when we withdrew, whether it's the rise of ISIS, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, remilitarization of China, we just saw a world on fire. I expect the same now under Biden, don't you?
I expect worse.
Worse.
I expect worse because Joe Biden is all bought in into this woke extremism. And he's talking about how the biggest threat is global warming, and the other big threat is quote unquote disinformation, which is straight out of 1984. They're going to police how we talk. So, you know, Barack Obama was bad, and he absolutely led America down the path of not being a world hegemon. And Joe Biden is a worse, let's be honest, dumber version of Barack Obama.
Yeah, at least Barack Obama wasn't senile and knew which day of the week it was. We're talking to Boris Epstein. Follow him at Boris EP. Things will get worse. He's absolutely right. You and your family need to be ready. What happens if it's not just a gas shortage, if it's not just cyber attacks? What if it's hyperinflation, the breakdown of our food supply? People who know what's coming are using today to prepare. You should as well. Do what I did and get the long-term storage food available from My Patriot Supply. Their food stays fresh for up to 25 years and provides a hearty 2,000-plus calories a day. And they have more than 40,000 four- and five-star ratings on the internet. That's how good they are. Get your four-week supply right now with $50 off if you use my name. Don't get caught unready. Your family needs to prepare. Go to preparewithgorka.com for your one-month supply with $50 off. Do what I did. Get ready. Preparewithgorka.com. Preparewithgorka.com.
Oh, there he is. Here's my guy. Good job. How's your new show going? Good?
Very well, thank
you. I heard good.
In the 60-second rant, start the clock. Republicans and some Democrats lined up to slam Ilhan Omar this week because they said she equated the U.S. and Israel with the Taliban and Hamas. She didn't. She pointed out that the International Criminal Court is right to investigate potential war crimes by all of those parties. And look, Americans get very upset when our nation is accused of war crimes, but I'm sorry to break this to you. Our nation has done some pretty awful things abroad, and we have to be able to talk about them.
Mehdi Hassan on speed, apparently, MSNBC, a guy I've had my own run-ins with when he worked for Al Jazeera, an apologist for Islamists around the world, including, of course, Ilhan Omar. And I bring it up because he's, you know, very fond of her. Boris Epstein, the Baron, Boris EP, joking aside, Boris, there are... Tell me if I'm being a little bit overly optimistic. You know me, I try to stay rational in the real world. Is it possible, after her latest comments equating America with actual terrorists, with ISIS, with the Taliban, that she could be losing favor amongst the Democrats? Or am I just, is it wishful thinking?
One would hope. This would be the perfect time to take Ilhan Omar off the House Foreign Affairs Committee. The fact that she's still on there after all her anti-Semitic comments, after speaking and equating the United States with terrorist organizations like Hamas, there's absolutely no room for Ilhan Omar in the House of Representatives, let alone the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Am I holding my breath? I am not. Mehdi Hassan, though, looks like he needs some help. Maybe a little stint in rehab would get him back to normal. What
Have you had run-ins with him? Have you ever been on the same show with Mehdi Hassan?
We've had some Twitter. I wouldn't call them battles because, you know, it got back to what's on my
crest. That big fit. Right up into the camera. We love that.
Yeah, we didn't. You know, Mehdi Hassan didn't really bring much, but you know, when you're somebody who doesn't love America, when you're somebody who espouses a perspective that's anti-American and frankly anti-Semitic, you don't have much of a leg to stand on. That's what Mehdi Hassan, that's Ilhan Omar, that's Rashida Tlaib. They're an embarrassment to this country, and Nancy Pelosi is even worse because she is the one that's allowing it to happen. She's empowering Rashida Tlaib.
And it would be not excusable, it would be less egregious if any of these people, if Mehdi, he's not even American, I think he's a British national, but if Ilhan Omar and the like ever said something nice and positive about America, but when you know they haven't from the get-go, then you know they actually hate America. Let's listen to another member of the squad. Let's talk about politics. Let's talk about the incredible election shenanigans of last year. This is, again, MSNBC, Cut 13. Play cut.
Especially if Senate Democrats are not going to pass reforms on HR1. We cannot rely solely on a wish of winning elections.
What does that mean? How else are you going to win an election? Is she
First
saying
of all,
that?
How is she still not able to put a sentence together? She's been in the House. This is her second term. How hard is it? Just does she need lessons? AOC, I'm here for you if you need it. Goodness, it's just what a mess.
Wasn't she born in America? I mean, you're an immigrant. I think maybe you should teach her proper use of English.
You and I are both immigrants, and I do a pretty good job.
You know how to join words together in a sentence. I've seen you do it.
We can't just hope and wish to win. What she's saying is, in her very inarticulate way, what she's saying is, they cheat.
Yeah,
and
yes, right. AOC. That's the implication. If we can't, you know, win, wink, wink, then we're just going to have to do what we did last year. Isn't that the imputation?
She's saying the quiet part out loud. That we are not leaving it to chance. We're flooding the zone with ballots and gutting the checks, which is exactly what they did in 2020 and what they're going to do going forward. HR1 is a joke. Everybody knows it's unconstitutional. It's a total mess. This is just a completely bold power grab by the Democrats outside the norms of the Constitution, outside the law, but they're being allowed it by mainstream media and the cabal of Dems, big tech, and left-wing MSM.
Yeah. Here's a big question for you. I'm going to bring the big question to the big guy, to the Baron. Which of these is more dangerous to America? Is it what we're seeing increasingly, the criminalization of conservatives, this idea that white supremacists are the biggest threat to America, which they just mean MAGA supporters. They just mean, you know, people who support the president.
A Jewish kid from Russia.
Right. You're the white supremacist. Or is it HR1 and S1? Is it the federalization of elections so that Democrats can always win? Can you even choose between those two?
You can't. They combine to burn the fabric of America. The ability to criminalize and marginalize the open discussion and freedom of speech, combined with the completely unconstitutional power grab over elections, which totally destroys our political system, that is an extremely powerful tool that may very well result, if the Democrats and AOC, Ilhan Omar, others, Nancy Pelosi, have it their way, in us becoming a Venezuela. It doesn't erode. It sets the fabric of America on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We have to go and record our podcast, The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today. It is the reimagined MAGA weekly update. What's happening across the nation? How are we going to win next year? House, Senate, and the White House 2024. You got to go. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe for your weekly update. We always talk about races, candidates, election audits. But to tease that podcast, in the last 30 seconds we have, Baron, what should our listeners, our viewers, have their eyes on? What's happening right now? Is it Arizona? Is it Georgia? You know what's going on. Just give us an indication in the last few seconds.
The audit in Arizona, the recount is concluded or almost concluded. Now it's going to be onto the re-canvas. Georgia, they just found 19,000 votes that didn't have chain of custody forms associated with them. Pennsylvania, there's a big push for a full forensic Arizona-style audit. President Trump sent a statement about it in the last 48 hours. A ton of action there, and then also have to be focused on the elections. You got a governor's election in Virginia, gubernatorial in New Jersey, and that recall in California. And now 2022 is getting hot. MAGA candidates all across the country.
All right. That's a little tease of everything you can hear. Check out the podcast. It'll be available this Friday, The Battle for 1600. In the meantime, follow Boris at Boris E. on Twitter, Boris_Epstein on Instagram. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Crude and slow, Snowflake. Your attack was no better than that of a clumsy child.
Imagine if those snowflakes had a good night's rest. They'd actually be dangerous. But not today, because they're just pencil-necked little millennial cupcakes. Buttercups who just... Well, imagine if we had to storm the beaches of Normandy today. It wouldn't be with the snowflake generation. Get a good night's rest. Be part of the conservative army that fights for America first. Support Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, the pillow that we love here at America First. President Trump loves them. 51 million sold. They're that good. The pillow. Could you imagine if you haven't had a My Pillow and you actually had a pillow that you wouldn't have to flip over halfway through the night because it's too hot, or you wouldn't have to constantly be prodding because it's lost its shape in the first 10 minutes. That's a MyPillow. That's how good it is. Get up to 66% off if you use my name. Call 800-829-8468. Support Mike Lindell, a great American, a truth teller, and a friend of President Trump. 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Isn't it weird how corporate entities have different stances depending upon the country they're in? Sky News, foreign news in the UK, is more woke than the BBC. I mean, really bad. Sky News in Australia is superb. Gonna play you this cut, their analysis of the mainstream media's take on President Biden. When I saw this yesterday, I fell in love with Sky News Australia. Cut 10, play cut.
I want to go to the US now, because the media has been gushing as their beloved Joe Biden prepares for his trip to the United Kingdom to attend the G7 summit. Listen to how CNN is reporting this momentous event.
Joe Biden is stepping onto the world stage for the first time as president, an equal to foreign leaders.
Now, let's go back in time to 2018 and see if those same newsrooms offered the presidency of Donald Trump such light and positive coverage.
Dramatic and deepening G7 divide, better put perhaps as G6 versus 1.
Sophie, they're calling it the G6 when Trump's there, but Joe Biden's there, and it's momentous, and it's positive, and it's glowing, and they're trying to give the illusion that he doesn't have any disputes with any of these international leaders. What do you think of that?
I just think Joe Biden is a lucky person. He has got all the media on his side, or most of the media on his side, particularly CNN, completely at odds with what they did to Trump. So, his popularity surely can only win from this because he's getting so much positive PR.
That is media, when you have people talk the truth about the bias, the people who coddle the man who bears the title of President of the United States. I'm going to have to watch a little bit more Sky News Australia. This is America First. Jennifer Horn, our West Coast warrior princess, joins us next.